responsibly, and the second line responsibly, and then when we go to the next lines, then the first two lines would be, we'll sing as a chorus, and we'll sing all together. Nachare, nachare, morama, dama, dada. 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 Yatama, chakata, diva, kira, nanisa. Yashoda didn't offer prayers to Krishna and Balaram. Rather, she gave them some instructions. Nachare nachare morama damodara. First of all, she says, Mora rama damodara. You're my Balaram and Damodara. And dance, dance. Yata nacha tata diva kiranani sar. And if you dance, then I'll give you some very nice condensed milk, butter,
and cream. And so then, Krishna and Balaram begin to dance in a very, very sweet way. And Mother Yashoda's heart becomes so charmed seeing that. She wants to see some more. The boys stop and she tells them, Ami nahi dekhi bacha nacha arabar. Oh, I didn't see you. Dance again. Gala yagantiya diva mani moyahar. And if you do that, then I'll give you a necklace of jewels. And so then Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Balji, his older brother, they begin to dance like puppets at the whim of Mother Yashoda. And ta-ta-ta-ta-tai-tai. Mother Yashoda, she's clapping her hands and calling out the time. And Krishna and Balaram, who are Jadumani, the jewels of the Yadu dynasty, they begin clapping their hands and dancing, swaying back and forth in time of Mother Yashoda's time. So Mother Yashoda, then she sings to them, Ramakanu, ore mo, ore Ramakanu. Oh, my dear Ram and Kanu, Krishna and Balaram, my dear Ram and Kanu. You're so beautiful, mani moya juri maji jala malatanu, with your effulgent bodies and jeweled crowns and your heads. So, we never hear about Devaki telling Krishna to dance. And Krishna dancing for Mother Devaki. But Mother Yashoda, sometimes she would make Krishna and Balaram dance. Even sometimes Krishna and Balaram would become afraid of Mother Yashoda. Krishna and Balaram were staying at Nandagaon. And every day they were going, performing different pastimes, little boys, and going with the other boys and playing. And in their childhood pastimes, Mother Yashoda, she would call them back every day for lunch. The boys were going, and they would often play. There's a very nice kund you may have seen by Nandagaon called Yashoda Kund. For Yashoda, she had her own little bathing place. And she would go there to take bath every day. And just near there, there's another place where Balaram, Krishna, and the cowherd boys, they would sometimes go to play. That place is called Hau Bilau. Hau Bilau. And it's on the western bank of Jamuna, of the Yashoda Kund. And sometimes Krishna would tell the boys, oh, I have to go home now. It's time for my lunch. And then the boys, they would tell Krishna, no, no, you stay and play with us. And then Krishna, okay. And he would play some more with the boys. And then Krishna would say, but you know, really, I really need to go. I have to go. And then the boys would tell him, okay, go. You can go if you want to. But if you go, we're never going to play with you again. If you do like that. And the Krishna would say, no, 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 no. I'm going to stay. It's okay. And Krishna would be playing, having such a good time with his friends. And Mother Yashoda would be looking at her wristwatch. What's going on? Krishna's not come back for lunch yet. So she sometimes would send Rohini. You go and get them. So Rohini would go there. Hey, boys, Krishna Balaram, come, come. You have to come for lunch. And they would say, no, we're not coming. No, you come right now. No, no, we're not coming. Ha! And she'd try to catch him, and the boys would run away. And she would run after them, and they would laugh and run away from her. And Rohini couldn't catch them. So then Rohini, she went back and she told Yashoda, Yashoda, I can't bring them back. So Rohini, her love for Krishna and Balaram is superior to the love of Vasudeva and Devaki. But the topmost embodiment of Vatsalya Priti is Yashoda. So when she saw that Rohini couldn't do this thing, she couldn't bring Krishna and Balaram back. And Rohini and Yashoda said, I'll personally go. So she went there, and She had a very special pastime with Krishna, and there's a very nice song in Braj Bhasha. Does anyone here speak Braj Bhasha? Good, because I can't pronounce everything properly. Mother Yashoda, she went there and she said, "Hey, Balaram Krishna, you come back." "No, Ma, we're not coming. We're going to play with the boys. We're going to stay here in the forest forever. We're never going to come back." Some of these children are like that. "I'm going to stay in the forest." And Mother Yashoda said, "No, no, you should come back. Well, don't you know? There's a hawa. Hawa here." Krishna said, "What is a hawa? You don't know what a hawa is? Oh, hawa is like a hobgoblin. A boogeyman." I don't know what you say in Chinese. And he captures little boys and takes them away and puts them inside of his cave and does some terrible thing. And Krishna said, "I don't know. What is, I've never heard of this hawa before. Where is this hawa?" He said, "No, no. Hawa is there." Huh? And so he said, "Oh!" He said, "There! There he is! Oh!" And Yashoda started running. And then Krishna bawled, "Ah!" They also started running. So Yashoda, she's more powerful even than Mohini. She was able to bring Krishna and Balaram back. So, Krishna performs many, many different pastimes in Braj with the cowherd men of Mother Yashoda. And our acharyas have described that these pastimes, they have different elements. Mm-hmm. Bhakti Ras has different elements which are there. One of which is Vibhav. Vibhav is a different element of Bhakti Ras. It requires an alambana, or a foundation. And that alambana is two, Vishai and Ashai. And he's a subject and a object. The subject of the Vishai, of the Vatsalya Vishai alambana is Krishna. But Krishna in his form is Bala Gopal, he's a little baby. That's the subject of love. And the Ashray alambana, The shelter of that love, of Vatsalya Priti, is Krishna's superiors who teach him in so many different ways. And then there's different Udipans, different stimulus for this rasa. And that stimulus, they include different things like Krishna's age, Krishna's form, Krishna's dress, Krishna's naughtiness. If you go near to, not far from Brahmanda Ghat, there's an ancient deity, of Lord Shiva, that we like to take devotees to sometimes. It's said that that deity of Lord Shiva was personally worshipped by Mother Yashoda. And his name is Chinteshwar Mahadev. Chinta means anxieties. So many people, they come to Krishna consciousness because they have so many anxieties. Their boss is very cruel to them at work. Their wife ran away from them. Their children passed away. They had some incurable cancer, they lost their money. So many anxieties are there. So we come to Krishna consciousness to become free from anxieties. But I hope I don't disappoint you in telling you that that's a kind of cheating. Because actually we become Krishna conscious, there's also anxieties here. And the proof is Chinteshwar Mahadev. And he has that name because of Mother Yashoda. She had so many anxieties. Because Krishna's going out and sometimes he's eating dirt. Sometimes he's telling lies. Sometimes he's playing in the mud. Sometimes he would go as a little baby, couldn't walk yet, and he would go up. He would crawl to a calf, a baby calf. And he was very curious, looking up at the baby calf, and the tail's there. And baby Krishna would reach up and grab the tail of the calf. And then what would happen? The calf would become frightened, and the calf would start running. And Krishna would become frightened, and he would hold on very tight. And then he was dragged through the mud like that, and Madhu Yashoda was running behind him crying, "Ah!" Like this. Sometimes she would come and she would find Krishna playing with a snake. Sometimes Ananta Sesh would come to visit Krishna and offer his pranams, and Krishna would play with him. And Sachinandan Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did like that. So Yashoda had so many anxieties, and she was going to Lord Shiva and praying to him. So he was Chinteshwar Mahadev. And before we go to Jagannath Puri, we always start in Bhubaneswar and we pray to Lord Shiva, his Chinteshwar, please take away all of our anxieties so our mind is very peaceful and focused that we can go to Aprikrama, the proper consciousness. So Yashoda was in anxiety about so many things. One of which was that she came from such a nice aristocratic family. Her husband was the king of Braj. But everyone in Braj was coming to her and complaining about him. Yashoda Rani, you know, you're Krishna. He's very naughty. He's coming to our house and stealing. He's coming and stealing the butter, the makkhan, and the dahi. And then sometimes we tie it up to a rope someplace he can't get to it. And then if we do that, he's such a rascal. He'll come and he'll put some chairs on top of each other, something, and climb up and get it. And if he can't reach it, then he'll throw stones and break it. And then what does he do with it? He gives it to the monkeys. And if he can't get any at all, then what he does, he comes and becomes very angry, and he comes and pinches our babies and makes them cry. And sometimes he goes and passes urine and stool inside of our house. When he's angry like that. Your Kanu is very, very naughty. There's one gopi in Braj who Krishna used to come to her house and steal butter many times. And she was becoming very angry about that. So she decided, I'm going to capture him. So she made a very elaborate plan. And she took a very nice pot, first class butter. She tied it up with a rope. She pulled it up just near the ceiling. And she tied a strand of bells to that rope. Because so many things she'd done before, Krishna always defeated her. But this time, I'm going to catch him. So Krishna came a little later with his friends. And Sanam was there, and he snuck into that gopi's house. And then he saw, look at this. She's made some trap for us. So then Krishna, who in Braj displays his pastimes as being mugda or bewildered, he doesn't realize his divinity, but sometimes he displays his divinity in Braj. As when he showed his universal form to Yashoda and other pastimes. So Krishna, he spoke to those bells. Everything in Braj is personified as a personality. So he said, "Oh, my dear bells, you be quiet. Don't make any sound." And then Krishna and his friends, they managed to lower that pot of yogurt, that pot of butter, and they brought it down. Very, very good. And they all sat in a circle, and they all started reaching in to eat something. As soon as Krishna took that butter and put it to his mouth, and immediately all the bells began to ring. And Krishna began, what are you doing? He was complaining to the bells. And those bells are actually persons. Why are you doing this? Krishna said, I told you to be quiet. And the bells said, it's not our fault. We've read Hari Bhakti Vilas, you know. Some rules are there. Everyone knows that whenever Bhagavan eats, you ring the bell. And so Krishna, he was captured. On another occasion, it's described in Garga Sanhita that Upananda was he's Upananda, he's the elder brother of Nanda Maharaj. Upananda's wife's name was Prabhavati Gopi. She came to see Yashoda, and she was very annoyed. She said, "Yashoda, why are you sending your son all the time coming to our house and stealing? Why he's doing like that? He's coming and stealing our butter, our yogurt." And Yashoda became very embarrassed. Mother will know this thing when someone comes and complains about your son. You become very embarrassed by that. Oh. And she's thinking, I don't know why he does that. Because in our house, we have so much butter and yogurt, we practically can't move. We have so many millions of cows. We have so much butter and yogurt. Why he's going to your house and stealing butter and yogurt there, I don't know. Well, she said, if you ever catch him doing that, then bring him to me. Yashoda told that to Prabhavati Gopi, and I'll punish that makanchor, that butter thief. So a few days later, Krishna, Vanga Sridham, Subal, Madhumanga, some of his cohorts, they went to Prabhavati Gopi's house. And they climbed over the wall of the house, looked over the edge very carefully. Nobody's here. And they climbed down, they went inside, and they found a very nice pot of butter. They sat down, they started eating it. And then suddenly Prabhavati Gopi came from behind a curtain there, and she grabbed Krishna by the hand. "Ha! Now I've got you. And I'm going to take you to the queen of Vrindavan, and I'm going to show her that you've been stealing butter." And Krishna became very frightened. He was looking like this. And Prabhavati Gopi took him by the hand, and she started marching him to Mother Yashoda's house. And on the way, she got a little nervous. Prabhavati Gopi, she's a village girl. And she's thinking, I'm going to the king of Braj, and I've got his son in my hand, and I'm chastising him, and who knows? Maybe he's going to be very angry with me. So Prabhavati Gopi, she took her chatur and she put it over Krishna's head. So that no one could see that she had the son of Nanda Maharaj in her hand. And then she went to that house. And she knocked on the door. And she said, "Hey, Yaso, will you come? I have your kanu. He's been stealing butter in my house, and I captured him this time, and you should give some justice. This is very bad. So long, your Krishna has been stealing from us. Now you have to punish him. You should do something." She was making so much noise. And so all the residents of the house, they came there, Yashoda, Rohini, Nanda Maharaj, Balaram, they all came there. And Krishna was standing there. Prabhavati Gopi had him by the hand, and his cloth was over his head. And she told them, she said, "Just see, I have your Krishna, and he's been doing this thing." And she took the cloth off his head, and she's saying, "So you have to do something." And she wasn't looking at Krishna, she's looking at them. And when she took that cloth off, everybody started laughing. And Balaram spoke up and said, "Just see, today a great injustice has been done. That my younger brother has been falsely accused of doing some bad thing." And Prabhavati Gopi, "Why is everybody laughing?" And then Yashoda said in a very gentle way, she said, "Prabhavati, if my Krishna does something wrong, then you should bring him to us and we'll punish him. But if your son does something wrong, then you should punish him." And Prabhavati, And she looked down at Krishna, and she saw that Krishna had taken the form of her own son. Prabhavati Gopi became very, very embarrassed. And without saying anything, and still with Krishna in her hand, she turned around and she went back to her home, too ashamed to even say another word. And after they'd gone a little ways away from the house, and Krishna manifested his form again, then Krishna looked up at her and he said, He said, "Next time, if you do this, I promise I'm going to take the form of your husband. So, and this way, Krishna was performing such wonderful pastimes in Braj, acting like a thief. Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu, he gives a very wonderful description about Krishna's Damodar Leela in the 8th chapter of the book. He says that one day, early in the morning, Mother Yashoda, during the month of Kartik, she woke up and she was just looking with so much ecstatic love and happiness at her little Gopal, who was lying there in bed. And sometimes his eyes seemed to be opening, just like a pair of lotuses, and sometimes they were closed. Like sometimes we see a baby, their eyes seem like they're opening, but they're still asleep. So Mother Yashoda picked him up and fondled him for some time and put him back to sleep. And then she went to churn some yogurt that she put aside personally that day. It's described that that particular day, Rohini and Nanda Maharaj, they weren't there. Because Upananda, Nanda Maharaj's older brother, had invited them to come for some special function. And also, all the different household maidservants, they were also absent. And Jiva Goswami says, because Margashirsha, the very special month of the year, was coming, which is coming just a few days, and they're going to have a great festival every year for Mahendra. And it's part of their tradition, so none of the cowherd people, none of the maidservants were present in the house either. Yashoda, she had arranged for the best cow, the cow that gave the best milk, to be given the best grass from Govardhan Hill. And Govardhan Hill has that name, he's Govardhana, because he's nourishing the cows. And in his commentary on the verse, Hantaya Madhara Bala Haridasa Varyo, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes why it is that he has that name, Govardhana. He says, for several reasons, one of which is because Giriraj has such special grass that nourishes all the cows. So Mother Yashoda had arranged that that particular very special grass, some other special foods had been given to the best cow. And then with her own hands, she'd milk that cow. Because every day she was getting so many complaints from Prabhavati Gopi and others about Krishna's activities of stealing. So she decided that he's not satisfied with this other milk and this other butter and things in our house. Therefore, he's going and stealing from other people. She was thinking it was that reason. So she thought to herself that this is my fault. I need to make something better for my Kanu. She has such motherly love. So with her own hands, she milked that cow. And she collected that milk. She made it into yogurt. And the next day, that morning, she got up and personally, she tightened her belt around her waist, And she took that rod, that churning rod, and she started churning butter. Well, Krishna, baby Krishna, was laying there in his bed, asleep next to her. And while, this is described by Srila Vyasadeva in 10th canto, chapter 9, text 2 of the Bhagavatam. Yani yaniha gitani tad bala charitani cha dadi nirmantane kale smaranti tanya gayata. That while she was churning that milk, Mother Yashoda was thinking of Krishna and singing songs about him. Mother Yashoda is an eternal associate of the Lord. And we want to follow in her footsteps. That's known as ragatmaka bhakti, to follow in the footsteps of those devotees who are, that's raganuga bhakti, to follow in those ragatmaka bhaktis, those eternal associates of the Lord. And she's teaching us that whatever things we're doing, We may be churning yogurt, we may be working on Sankirtan, selling books, we may be cooking for our husband, we may be working in an office. But whatever we're doing, we should always be chanting and thinking about Krishna. And if we try, we can find this thing as possible. I have one god sister whose name was Jamuna. And no one thought very much about her. She was just a simple housewife. She didn't know many verses. She was never trained in the temple. She's just serving her husband. And she would go to the temple on Sundays and serve prasadam and things. But she was a very sincere devotee, a very sincere disciple of my Guru Maharaj. And after some time, she started having some terrible pains in her body. And she went to the doctor. And they told her she had cancer. And she was going to die in a short time. And so she told our Guru Maharaj. And our Guru Maharaj told her, he said, so you should chant. You should always chant. Don't stop chanting. And she told the devotees later on, she said, I don't know. I can't understand how this happens. She said, but I'm always hearing the Maha Mantra. She said, even while I'm sleeping, the Maha Mantra is coming. I'm just always hearing that mantra. And although she was in such terrible pain, and very, very amazing things happened to her before she left this world. She was in the hospital, I might as well tell you something. And her husband was sleeping in a room near her, and suddenly he heard her screaming and crying, ah, ah, and like a mad woman, screaming and screaming. And he got, oh my God, what happened? What did? And she was just crying, he was here, he was here. And he, what happened? What are you talking about? Krishna was here, and he came and sat down right here, and I saw him, and he was touching me. And she was saying like that. I don't know. Our Guru Maharaj said that Krishna actually came to see her. We don't know. But in any case, it's a very wonderful thing to be experiencing and thinking, whether it's delusion or whatever it is at the end of your life. So we think about this when we hear about Mother Yashoda and how she's always chanting, always thinking of Krishna. So Mother Yashoda, she was churning that yogurt, and her bracelets were also making some beautiful sounds, going along with the sound of the churning and making the sound runajuna, runajuna, her ankle bells. And she was singing wonderful songs about the pastimes of Krishna. And Jiva Goswami says that Krishna was the ocean of incessant playfulness. Suddenly he sat up and pretended to cry. Then he waddled over to his mother and sighing very deeply and stretching his body and rubbing his eyes. He said, Ma, Ma. And he started tugging on her sari. And Mother Yashoda became overwhelmed with love for her little boy. And milk started flowing from her breasts. And it's described by Shukadev Goswami, Payo Varsari Dara Bir. Varsavan Medurasriya Tasya Payodare Sustu Krishna's Chattakatamrita. That the milk began pouring from her divine breasts, just like rain from a fat cloud during the rainy season. And just like during the rainy season, when that rain starts coming down, the Chattaka birds become very happy and go and drink that. Krishna became like a Chattaka bird and went to drink the rainfall of Mother Yashoda's breast milk. Krishna was very eagerly sucking the breast of Mother Yashoda, but he'd only satisfied half of his hunger. When Mother Yashoda noticed that the pot of milk that she'd put on the stove was boiling over, very quickly Mother Yashoda put Krishna down and ran to get the milk on the stove. Some commentators, they say that, because everything in Braj has personality, that milk wanted to commit suicide. The milk on the stove, because it saw, what is the use of my life? Krishna's drinking from the breast of Mother Yashoda. What is the point of me living? What use am I? Krishna's not going to want me. Krishna's going to want Mother Yashoda's milk. So I'll jump out of the pot and throw myself in the fire and commit suicide. The milk was thinking like that. And Mother Yashoda ran very quickly to put to turn the flame off and take the milk off the flame. Some other commentators, they raise a question. Why did Mother Yashoda do that? Krishna became very angry and very dissatisfied when Mother Yashoda did that thing. Mother Yashoda was serving Krishna in the most intimate way, in the most loving way, by giving her breast to him. But she stopped that service and put him down to his dissatisfaction and anger to run and get the milk on the stove. Huh? Is there some fault in Mother Yashoda? Is there some fault in her love? Huh? This question was raised by Madhukanta to his good friend Snigdhakanta in Gopal Champu. He said, how is it? And Snigdhakanta, he said, no, don't think there's any fault in Mother Yashoda's love. She's a very personification of Vatsalya Priti, of ecstatic motherly love. But Mother Yashoda, she loved Krishna more than her own self. She would die 1,000 times over rather than see a single hair on Krishna's head harmed. But there was something she felt even more intensely about, and that was Krishna's service. That milk was for Krishna's service. And she had such an abhiman, such an attitude that I have to serve Krishna. I have to take care of him. If I don't feed Krishna, he's going to become hungry. Huh? This is the attitude the pujari should think. Not that they're thinking that someone gave me this coconut, so now let me go offer this to the Lord, the deity, so then I'll give it back to this person, and then they'll give me some bakshish, they'll give me some money or something, or this is my duty. They may have an attitude known as kartavya-buddhi, that I have to do this thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's four types of attitudes that we have in service to the Lord. Bhaya, asha, kartavya-buddhi, and rag. Bhaya is out of fear. And sometimes the pujaris, they're serving the Lord out of fear. Oh, if I don't do this thing, my Guru Maharaj is going to be really angry with me. The temple president promised me that if I'm late again with a Rajboga offering, he's going to kick me out. The temple, I can't stay here anymore. So out of fear, we're doing that service. That's bhaya. Or asha. We may be offering that boga because we want something ourselves. Sometimes we're, I think Krishna would like some very nice pizza. Yes. Huh? Or Krishna would like some ice cream. Why are we thinking that? Because we want that. That's asha. Or maybe we're thinking, if I offer very nice things, it's said in Shastra that if you offer fruits to Krishna, he likes it so much. And Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says that if you offer fruits to the Lord, it's such a special thing that you can become Indra in your next life. And you'll get fabulous wealth and things. So yes, this is very good. Let me offer some foodstuffs to the Lord. Then I'll get this thing. That's asha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says these are both very low class. But this is our situation. If we analyze, even we have this bhaya and asha sometimes. He says, better than bhaya and asha is kartavya-buddhi. Where you're offering those things, you're serving the Lord out of a sense of duty. I should do this. Srila Prabhupada saved me. I owe something to him. This is my obligation. I made a promise before the fire and before the deities and the devotees that I'll follow four regulated principles and that I'll serve the deity. I'll do these things. So I have to. This is my duty. That's better. But Krishna is not attracted, certainly not by Vaya or Asha, and not even by Kartavya-buddhi. Krishna is attracted only by rag, by spontaneous love. So it's not that Mother Yashoda is thinking out of duty or out of fear or out of desire for something for herself. She's 100% absorbed in how I can serve Krishna with love. And so that milk which she personally gathered was so much trouble for the service of Krishna. When it was boiling over, she couldn't tolerate that. And she preferred to take care of that milk She gave preference to that even over her direct service to Krishna's body. That's a very, very deep, profound thing. When Mother Yashoda went away from that place to get the milk, Jiva Goswami says that her breasts, the milk was pouring from her breasts. I guess she was feeding Krishna. And it was pouring down. It was making a path, a trail of marks on the floor. And she was going. And very quickly she came back. And she came back and she saw that Krishna was gone. When Yashoda put him down, Krishna became very angry. He started biting his lip. Why is she doing like this? I want some more milk. So then Krishna took a stone and he broke the pot that Mother Yashoda had been churning. And then he fed that yogurt that came out to the monkeys. And then he walked away looking for some more butter. And Jiva Goswami says that he made some footprints in the yogurt. And he went to the next room and he found a nice pot of butter. And he started feeding that butter to the monkeys. So Mother Yashoda returned, and she didn't find him. And then she saw, the broken pot and the stone. And Jiva Goswami says that she understood what Krishna was up to. And Mother Yashoda smiled with mixed feelings of anger and joy. A very remarkable feeling, huh? See, at first, Jiva Goswami says, she was a little apprehensive and uncertain exactly what to do in that situation. Just then, Yoga Maya manifested an Akashvani, a voice in the sky, a voice which both enlightened her and amused her. And that voice spoke and said, "This infant honeybee broke a hole in the bottom of a budding lotus flower. Finding only some dripping liquid inside that flower, he became disappointed and went to another lotus where he found honey." And the voice continued, "Your skill is demonstrated by your having calmed down the boiling milk. But if you can now also calm down your child's anger, then your reputation will be praised far and wide." Which is a play on Mother Yashoda's name, Yashoda. She's giving fame. Now you'll really be Yashoda, huh? If you can calm down Krishna's anger. You've calmed down the pot of milk. Now let's see if you can calm down Krishna's anger. Mother Yashoda heard that. She smiled. And then she saw some little white footprints on the floor. Mother Yashoda picked up a stick and very quietly she went behind those footprints and she came to another part of the house and she saw Krishna behaving in a very, very naughty way. Krishna was there. Krishna was very apprehensive. Krishna was thinking to himself, "I've been stealing. My mother's going to be very, very angry. And she might see me here." So then Krishna was rolling his eyes into his head. It's like sometimes children, they think if they cover their eyes, then no one can see them. So Krishna was thinking like that. So Mother Yashoda doesn't see him. So Krishna was feeding those monkeys and Mother Yashoda, she came into that room and she saw that those very bold monkeys had been eating to their full satisfaction. And when those monkeys saw the cloth-covered stick that Mother Yashoda had in their hand, they became frightened. They saw, she's very angry. And they quickly climbed up into a tree. They didn't run away because those brudge monkeys, they wanted to see the very wonderful pastime that was about to take place. And Mother Yashoda began to run after Krishna. And Krishna saw the monkeys running, and she turned, and he saw Mother Yashoda's here, and she's very angry, and she has a stick in her hand. And so then Krishna jumped up, and he started running. And Mother Yashoda started chastising him. Huh? Where are you going now, you Chora Gaganya? You best of thieves. Where are you running away now? Huh? And Mother Yashoda was running and running after him, but she couldn't catch him. Mother Yashoda, she used to ask Krishna, why are you giving butter to the monkeys? Why are you doing like that? And in Mathurmate Spindavan, Bhagavanimaraj describes this. He says that Krishna told her, oh ma, these are not ordinary monkeys. In their previous life, their previous birth, they were with Lord Ramachandra. And they were part of Ramachandra's army. And they were going through so many forests and things, but they had nothing to eat. Sometimes they were lucky, they'd get some fruits from the trees. And sometimes there was nothing. And then they were having to go and fight against Ravan's armies. So I want to give them something. I want to give them some makkhan. But they're coming and they're taking this makkhan from me. So Krishna started running away from Mother Yashoda. Jiva Goswami says, with the speed of the wind. And Jiva Goswami says that Mother Yashoda ran behind him just like a trail of clouds following another small cloud. And then Jiva says that Krishna was thinking that Mother never goes outside the compound gate. She's a chaste housewife. So Krishna started going that direction, trying to run away from him. But Mother Yashoda knew that the compound, although Mother Yashoda generally didn't go there, no one was there today because all the maidservants had gone and everyone was gone. So Mother Yashoda, she followed him out there. And Jiva Goswami says that as long as Krishna didn't look behind him, Mother Yashoda couldn't catch him. And in Mathurmate Vrindavan, Guru Govinda Maharaj describes that Yashoda was running after Krishna and she was sweating and the flowers were falling from her hair and she was breathing very heavily and she couldn't catch Krishna. And then Yashoda started becoming worried. Not about herself, but she was thinking, oh, Krishna's running so fast, maybe he's going to step on a pebble or a stick or something, maybe he'll be hurt. And she started thinking about the Lord and his welfare. And she started looking at Krishna's lotus feet. And when Yashoda began meditating on Krishna's lotus feet and feeling concern out of Krishna for Krishna's lotus feet, then at that time, Krishna turned around looking fearfully. And Mother Yashoda captured him. And what happened at that time is described in the Damodar Ashtaka prayers. I think you have in your handout. If not, maybe you know these things. Thank you. sa kam ba chi re kam ka kam ta sa sa kam ba chi re kam ka kam ta sita graivam damo daram bhakti varam sita graivam damo daram
together
namam shrayam sachi
Krishna turned around and he saw that stick in the hand of Mother Yashoda. He became very frightened. And he started crying and rubbing his eyes with his two lotus hands. Mm-hmm. His eyes are filled with fear. And the necklace of pearls around his neck. His neck, which is like a conch shell, has three lines. That pearl necklace began shaking because of Krishna's quick breathing due to his crying. And it said that this Krishna, I offer my pranams to him. He's not bound with ropes, but he's bound with the love of Mother Yashoda. This is Krishna. So, I think we should stop here. And we'll continue this pastime some more tomorrow. So, if anybody has any questions or comments, we can, they're very brief, we can address them now, or we can continue tomorrow. Tomorrow, we would like to continue this pastime and address some points that arise in it, and address in particular some of the points that Gaura Govinda Maharaj raises in Mathurmit's Vrindavan. Philosophical points. How is it that Krishna is bound up? How does Krishna become bound up? What does it mean to be bound up? How are we bound up? And how is Krishna bound up? And what is the difference? We'd like to address some of that. And maybe if we have some time tomorrow, we can speak something to you about Krishna's faults. I promised Mother Karta I would do that. I can just briefly mention to you, the average conditioned soul, there's 18 different faults which are described in Shastra. And do you know this Krishna that you're going, Mataji, this Krishna that you're going and worshipping in the temple, do you know he has 16 of these faults? Sometimes we think he's faultless, but no, it's not true. He has 16 different faults. He has all of those faults except for two. But his faults are very beautiful. And we'll hear something about those maybe tomorrow. So are there any questions or comments, anyone? Okay. We also included some little meditations along with these handouts. You please read these, please think about them. Please, you can read something also we've given here about an outline of Mathurmit's Vrindavan and something about the life of Gaura Govinda Maharaj. It's said in Shastra that Gopayad Guram Atmanaha that Hari Bhakti Dilas quotes this verse from Samoyan Tantra, which describes that we should hide our guru. We don't feel a very appropriate thing to speak about our guru, but the subject of this book is coming from him. And so we thought the devotees might want to hear something about him. So you can read at your own leisure if you'd like to know something about Maharaj. And I'd encourage all of you who don't have a copy of the book to read it. It's very, very nice. Very nice meditation. You'll find it, I think, very good for your bhajan. So anyway, thank you very much for taking part in this Vaishnav Goshti. Vaishnav Goshti means three things are there.
Satamba sangam mamavirya samvido. Means we have to have some harikatha. That's the first thing. Means we have to have speakers and listeners. But even if you have a speaker and a listener, if there's no harikatha, nothing happens. So all three of these things have to be there. And they have to be present, Srila Prabhupada said in one purport. He said we should have a society free from envy. So to have a proper sangha, parasparanu katanam pavanam bhagavadyasa, 11th canto of the Bhagavatam says, we have to learn to associate together. And that association has to be based on a society free from envy. Prabhupada says in one purport, he says, this ISKCON society is meant to be a society free from envy. So if we want to have a happening, as they used to say in the 60s in America, if we want to have some harikatha, these three elements have to be there. Harikatha, speaker and a listener. Another speaker and the listener, they both have to be free from envy. The speaker shouldn't be thinking, yes, all these people are here to hear me. That's envy. It's envy of Krishna. Because these topics belong to Krishna. They belong to our acharyas. They belong to personalities like Mother Yashoda who are living them. And we're just repeating them for our benefit. So if the speaker is free from envy, then it can be a good atmosphere. But the listeners have to be free from envy. They shouldn't be thinking, oh, I can do better than them. I know more. I'll go here or there. I'll do this or that. And if we have such a goshti that's free from envy, and harikatha is there, then it can be very, very wonderful. So I thank all of you, each and every one of you, we're all taking part in this together. It's not just that the speaker is more important than the listeners. Mother Srimati being here, Mother Bhante, Guruji, and the devotees, it evokes something. And then we have a meeting of devotees like that, then things come out. And that's what we want. We're not coming here to hear a particular person. We want some harikatha. So thank you very much. Pancha kalpataruvishcha kripasindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Samaveda Bhakta Binda Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gopremanandi Hari Hari.